Philippians chapter 4. I don't know about you, but if I was disheartened, disquieted, bummed out, all those words we used earlier, everybody would know it. I'm not a very good fake. Is anybody a good fake? Anybody say you think you're a good fake? You think you are? Mm-hmm. I'd say that's admirable, but I'm not sure that's admirable. It's not. Somebody come along and say, what's wrong with you? I'm just not a very good fake. Philippians 4. Be careful for nothing. Verse 6. Be careful for nothing. Nothing's a really big word, isn't it? You watch the police programs. You can watch those that are reality shows and those that are fiction. And when they interview and interrogate somebody, sometimes they're not talking. They're not going to say a single word. And they look you in the eyes, they offer them a drink of water. That's how they get their fingerprints, you know. And they won't even touch the bottle of water. They're just not saying anything. Not one word, not one sentence. I don't care what you say or what you do, they're not responding. And that's where we are told to stand when it comes to worry, not to respond to worry, not to respond. We call it concern because we think we might have room for concern. But actually, concern is just worry in progress. Did you know that? And so we're going to lay aside worry, and we're going to be careful or be worried about nothing. I think the translation, don't worry about anything. Well, when we cleaned up my mother's house, after Daddy died, Mother died first, we tried not to leave anything behind. You ever done that? What a chore that is. And by the time you get all the kitchen cabinets cleaned out, and all the bureaus and dresser drawers cleaned out, and all the hidden places cleaned out, my mother hid things. And we knew that. One day we found $300-something. My mother was always hiding something. Well, her mother always hid something. And when my grandmother died, they were taking apart a picture frame. Somebody won the picture and knocked the frame, and money fell out. So we were cautious. We didn't want to leave anything behind, particularly something of value. And so I told everybody, check every pocket. And once you get everything cleaned out and there's nothing left on the first floor, everything's devoid, then we have the attic to deal with. Well, I had looked in the attic, not an attic person, but my ambassadors and their boxes up there. And fortunately, they're mostly Christmas boxes. And what we did, we divided all Mother's Christmas things out. And I made 4 Christmas trees with her decorations and gave them to one to my sister, one to my brother, and one to our daughter, Suzanne, who was very, very close to her grandmother. And we then had left nothing behind. Everything was gone. Everything been distributed. It was a blank slate. We did that for the benefit of the person who's going to buy from us at full value. Did you hear that? Want to put that out in the air. Somebody's going to buy. Well, that's the way worry is. We don't want any worry at all. We don't want to leave any concern behind. We don't want to drag anything with us. We want to lay it aside. It says, be careful. Full of care, full of worry. That's what they would have said. For absolutely nothing. When somebody calls you on the phone, what are you doing? You're a client. You lie. You say nothing. That's generally not the truth. You're either thinking about doing something, or you are sitting and resting, or you're watching television, which you consider doing nothing, which is probably the worst thing you could do to impact the human heart. So you are doing something. And you're never a vegetable. You're never without a thought, an idea, a concept. At least you might be thinking about what you thought you were going to accomplish today, but didn't. Is that what you did? And when Wayne comes through, I said, I haven't vacuumed yet. I'm a faithful vacuum person. Other things I'm not as faithful about, but I do not like footprints in my carpet. I don't. And so I vacuum. And I don't like trash on the carpet. We had, when we remodeled our house, we tiled all the pathways because I didn't like the footprints and the damage that was done to carpet where it's traffic patterns. And so we tried to do everything we could eliminate that. And that's what we're going to do today. We're going to limit the traffic patterns in the mind that cause you to worry and be concerned. We're going to take up the carpet where you beat it to death with your thought life. And we're going to lay down some tile. We're going to lay down the tile of the Holy Ghost that will support you. Be careful for nothing. If I said to the children, don't eat anything, don't touch any of that food, that's exactly what I would mean. Don't eat a cookie. Don't eat a piece of cake. You know, don't have a drink of water. Nothing. And there would be a reason for that. And I meant that they were to keep their hands off. Well, that's what God says. Now, it's interesting. We, thou shalt not commit adultery. We know no adultery. Thou shalt not bear false witness. No lie. And we know that. But when it says don't worry, we're not quite as concerned. And yet if God says, don't commit adultery, adultery is a sin. If he says, don't lie, lying is sin. If he says, don't worry, guess what worry is? Even when everybody worries, God says, don't. He said, don't. It's not that I said, don't. God said, don't. He said, don't worry about anything. There isn't any financial dilemma, any dilemma with my children, any dilemma with my neighbors, any job dilemma, any relationship dilemma that would cause me to worry. I'm just not going to do it. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to have the opportunity. I'm going to pass that opportunity by. Don't worry about anything. He tells us exactly what to do. You know, you're not an empty slate. You can say, I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. I'm not going to worry about it. What you're worried about is where you're worried. But what we're going to do, but in everything. Now, everything's as big as the word is nothing. My sister was determined that every relative should see Mama's stuff and get their choice. Well, they don't all live here. So we spent everything out one room at a time on a table, took pictures, sent those pictures over the computer, did every email, labeled everything everybody wanted. Here's Phil's box, here's somebody else's box, boxed it all up, had the local relatives go and truck through and point out what they wanted. And then we boxed it all up until everything was gone. She was determined that we weren't going to slight anybody. And I said, if anybody, so help me, if anybody says, I didn't get the, I'm going to have to deal with myself. You weren't fair. I wanted that. I thought, I'm going to ask the Holy Ghost, help me, help me, help me. Because we distributed everything and everybody as far as we could, humanly possible. Everybody got to look at everything. And then the house was stripped bare. And God said, there's some things in life you'll have to strip yourself up. You're going to have the opportunity, but don't do it. And so what we're going to do instead is pray. Why? Because God answers prayer. And it says prayer and supplication, which we discussed supplication through its buckets and requests, with thanksgiving. Why with thanksgiving? Because Jesus can fix it. But he does answer prayer. He's not going to fix it if you're going to worry about it, fret about it, be concerned. Now, the word worry is very interesting. It comes from an ancient word which means to strangle. Every word has an origin. And the word worry's origin is in the word strangle or bite. It's used over historical settings. It's an older word than many words, a thousand years old. And it's used in ways that we don't use anymore. If your car died at the foot of the hill and you were pushing that car up the hill, of course, with help, they would say you worried that car up the hill. In other words, the entire weight of the car rested on you. And that's what we do when we worry, we fret, we become concerned. It's the whole thing seems to weigh on me. If I don't solve this, if I don't get this up the hill, if I don't get to victory here, if I don't. But when we pray, we turn it over to God who can. You know why you're worried? Because you can't fix it. Isn't that right? If you could have fixed it, you'd already done so. You'd had the process of working. So they used about worry. And also an animal that catches another animal, puts that animal in its mouth and begins to shake it and bite it. And that's called worrying. A dog that would catch a rat would worry the rat. And that's what worry does, and concern and fret and anxiety and all those dilemmas that you internalize. Instead of becoming a bare slate and not being concerned about the forces of life and turning everything over to God and looking to him and looking to his promises and reprogramming your mind and your heart so that you don't have those concerns weighing you down and so that you think that this all rests on you. You know, if it all rested on me, my family's in trouble. Because there's a lot I can't fix. There's some things I know how to fix. I still can't fix them. They're up to you. You had a recipe fall through. You knew how to do it. You'd done it before, and this time it didn't work. It doesn't rest on you. It rests on God who answers prayer. And that's what worry does. It grabs your mind. It bites into it. It begins to shake your mind. Sometimes your body feels like a thousand needles are pricked into it. Have you ever had that happen? You're so disturbed, so concerned, and so difficult. You know that rat can't shake himself free from that dog's mouth, or the raccoon from the dog's mouth in the English raccoon hunts. And they worried that rat, or they worried that raccoon, and that's what this word means. It means to shake, it means to bite, it means to strangle. It's something that you struggle with, that you need to turn it all to Jesus. Now, the word anxiety is similar in that it comes from a different word that also means to strangle or to choke. And there's some things in life that begin to strangle our mind and strangle our heart. They begin to shut us down. They begin, you know, choking shuts off your airways until you can't breathe. And there's some worries and some struggles that begin to shake us like that rat, like that dog and the rat. They begin to shake us and cause us to tremble and that shut down our mind and shut down our heart until we feel like we can no longer breathe, until our peace is gone and the answer seems to be way out there somewhere, if we even see an answer in the distance. And you know what God says? He says, don't do that. Now, how many times have you told your children, don't do that? And what they do? They did it anyway. But this is Almighty God speaking. Now the word fret, you ready? It means to gnaw. You know what the ocean does to the shore? It frets it. You know, if we knew more English, we'd be better off, wouldn't we? Now, I don't know more English than you do. I have a big dictionary and a secretary. And when I say I want to know the root word of worry, she finds that for me. This is a good thing. But the word fret means to gnaw, and the ocean gnaws at the shore and erodes the shore. And so, you know, every now and then they bring in fresh sand and revamp. Rivers that are going outside of their banks, they're forging a new channel or are gnawing at the bank and gnawing into the ground a new channel. And that's what worry does. It gnaws into you until you have pathways and roadways that you don't need, thought patterns that aren't aiding you and benefiting you. So we have worry to strangle, to bite, anxiety to strangle and to choke. Isn't that just graphic? It helps us in fret, which means to gnaw. It helps us turn loose of some things or at least recognize the danger. Even the etymology of words knows that certain things are dangerous. It helps us. Just Webster's Dictionary helps us to turn loose. I don't want to do that. You want anything gnawing into your brain? You want anything biting into your mind? You want anything shaking your heart? God says, don't do that. We says, but pray. Now, you know what? If I had, I was a multimillionaire, might as well make me multimillionaire, who cares? And I said to you, you ever have a need, I will fix that for you. I will do it. And you knew I was trustworthy. I tell you how trustworthy I am and how people become to trust the voices that they hear or not trust the voice they hear. If I said to you, Wayne and I are getting a divorce, what would be your response? Because you trust me and because you know me. Well, if you trust God and you know God, then you know when he says he would answer prayer. He said you could pray with thanksgiving because he's going to fix some things for you. He said, turn that loose. Don't do that. You know I can turn that loose. If I said to you, any need you ever have, you call me. One lady asked me, she had to need thousands and thousands of dollars. And she says, my friend is very generous. And I think I will call her and ask her, would she give that to me? And let her know I could never pay her back. She says, what do you think? I've never been so horrified in my life. Well, not about you, but I was raised in the South, and that didn't sound like anything we'd ever do. Well, I'm surprised you didn't listen to me. I discouraged her. I learned not to do that to people. You know, if you take somebody's dream away from them, you better be sure you've got another one to plant. Because my people perish without knowledge, without a vision. And she went to her friend, did exactly what she said, and her friend wrote her check, said, sure, that was it. See, she trusted her friend. She knew something about her friend that I didn't know. Do you trust God? If he said, don't worry and give that to me, do you trust him? He says, pray with thanksgiving. You know you wouldn't have any thanksgiving if you weren't sure I was going to help you. If you were just in hope, the way we use hope, maybe so, maybe not. Scriptural hope means expectation, means confident expectation. But we use hope in the sense, I hope so, maybe so, maybe not. You know, I like it this way, I don't know if it'll turn out this way. And if that's all you had when you came to me, you would be insecure. You wouldn't be confident. You'd be holding on to your worry with one hand, even though you're trying to pass it on to me with the other because you're not sure I'm going to take it. But is God trustworthy? Can God be trusted? Is he going to do this for you? Well, look at 1 Peter 5. He is, he is, he is. You know, next time you're inclined to worry, to fret, something's gnawing at you. You know how you tell? You don't eat well, or you eat more. It depends on the personality. You don't sleep at night. That's all you want to talk about. Every time I see somebody, I say, did I tell you about, did I mention to you, you want to tell everybody? Or you're just the other extreme, you're not talking about anything. I say, what's wrong with you? Are you upset today? You're not saying anything. You know, it's all right for you to be you. I've said that over and over again a couple years ago, and the Lord's brought me back to that point. It's all right for you to be. If you want to be quiet, that's okay. If you want to be blabbermouth, we'll tolerate that. It's okay for you to be who you are. If it's not illegal and not immoral, it's okay. Don't let anybody talk you out of anything that's a part of who you are, unless it's Almighty God. Now he says, verse 7, casting all your care. How much of it? Don't worry about anything. Be careful for nothing. In everything and all. Those are very conclusive words. There's no leeway in those words. Those words aren't like rubber bands. You can't expand those words and mean anything other than what they mean. You know, we put new curtains in the, first of all, Wayne did a fancy trim around the windows in the bedroom, and he said, now, if I do this for you, I don't want any curtains over this trim. So I said, okay, because I like trim. And he did this wonderful trim job, and then I bought shears. We have blinds there, the inset, and then we took rubber bands. You guys lost, didn't you? We took rubber bands and bound them around the shears, kind of poofed them up, but pulled them with the rubber bands away from the trim that we want to show. That's what worry did. It binds you up and pulls you away from the Word of God, the power of God, and it says, over this way, over this way. And there walks God that way, and here go you this way. And what does don't mean? What does all mean? What does nothing mean? What does everything mean? There isn't any stretch, any leeway in those words. You should see my recipe, but you should not see it. I've been going to clean that thing out for 10 years. Keep thinking I might. And I'm thinking more about it every day because you can't find things now because the vegetable section has moved into the dessert section and the bread section is overrunning the appetizer section. It's just a book with pockets. And they apparently don't make those anymore. Nobody could find one of those. And I stuff anything in there I thought I might make one day. The truth is, I'm probably never going to make it. You know, that's what you do. But you don't want to lose track of that because you might make it. And then those that I really want to keep track of, I put in another folder, and it's even overrun with stuff. And it's just stuff everywhere. And you take that book out, and it falls apart. Well, so I got my rubber band. And I rubber banded it. And the next thing you know, it's so fat, guess what? You know, worry, the more you worry, the more you fret, the more anxious you are, the more it bites into you, gnaws at you, the bigger it gets. And the rubber band broke. And now the desserts are all the way over. And I was going to make corn spoon bread, been making it for years, sort of know how to make it, thought I should look up the exact measurements, that, you know, that I couldn't find it. So I looked through dessert, it wasn't dessert, I thought maybe it's over in bread. Oh, what a mess. What a mess worry makes. It makes a mess. It just makes a mess. And what is God saying? He said, don't. We were in Scotland. Little girl, autistic. Precious little girl. Mind about 16 months old. And so she touched everything, put everything in her mouth, and licked on everything. And nobody touches her. She touches nobody. She freezes. So they had wanted us to come for dinner, and we agreed. And Grandma had come to take her for a walk, but eventually she came back. And she would touch something. Her mom would say, don't. And the doctor said, you'll never train her. That God had helped them, and they had done some marvelous things with her. And her mother said, don't. And she'd draw back. So she'd go over here and touch something else, you know. But every time they said, don't, she drew back. You know, and every time God says, don't, we should pay attention. To pay close attention. Well, here's what happened. They fed us, and after dinner, we were sitting at the table. She's running because she's never still. And she's running. And she came around. I had Coke. They had given me Coke, and I was sitting there with my glass. And she came around and sat in my lap. Never done that before. Never. Nobody touches her. Her bedroom's on the second floor. And when they put her to bed,
she's on the TV screen on the first floor. And she runs round and round and round and round and round and round and round. I watched her for that hour. I said, how long is she going to do that? They said, till she falls out, till she passes out of sleep. Well, they've done a marvelous job in training her. I just can't tell you how God has helped them to train her and to help her. But when she sat in my lap, they were so startled. Her mother instantly said, don't sit down. I said, shh. This will be my one chance to put the Holy Ghost and the power of God into her. Oh, how God loves you. If you could turn loose of your worry, your fretfulness, your concern, you could do it. He could fix it. He could help you. He says, if you pass this medicine, this is not like fishing where you have your rod and reel. I don't like fishing, but I've seen fishing. We have fish in our family. And you throw that thing in there, and they leave it for a while, and they roll it back in. That's what we do with worry. We throw it out there. You know, worry is like a rock. Take that rock, roll it into deep water, and don't go get it. You can't swim underwater, can you? Not too many of us could last very long, especially hunting a rock. Oh, I want that back. No, give it all, give it all. Give it all to Jesus. Casting all your care, all your worries, all your anxieties. Don't let anything gnaw at you, chew at you, bite you. And since for God cares for you. Now I translate to God's concerned. That's a little shallow. You know, I may be concerned, but I'm able to help you. It's not concern you want, is it? It's power. It's authority. Let me read you some translations. This is the back. Throw all your worries on him because he takes care of you. That's what you want, somebody to take care of it. You know, if you go to a cemetery, they have a caretaker. You may have a person in your yard. We call them yard men now, or lawn men, but they used to be called caretakers. And you don't want them just to come appraise the yard and bring you a report. You know, your grass, your flower beds are overrun, your grass is, I hope, works out for you. You didn't hire for an opinion. You don't want just God's opinion. You want his power, power, wonder-working power. Working on your case, he said, you turn loose of it, I will. You hold on to it, you're on your own. Because I told you not to do that. You know, sometimes it's a good thing God's mercy endureth forever, isn't it? You ever want to say that to one of your children? You can just suffer. Mama told you not to do that. And you're thinking, oh, Holy Spirit. One lady told me she had a little dilemma that was really worrying her. We helped her out the best we could, and then she called to give me a progress report, and she's going to conduct business with another party, and she has to have their favor, and she says, okay, I'm sitting out front now, and I'm prepared to go in and be as nice as they'll let me be. I love that. I don't think it's an A+, you understand, but it's far from a D. She realizes we have to check our attitude. Well, turn it on, turn it on. You want something shaking your mind? You've already done that, so you know you didn't want to do it again, right? Has anybody not done that? Not worried, not fretted, not been run down by a thought? Throw all your worry in because he takes care of it. That's what your caretaker cemetery. They're supposed to mow around those plots. They're supposed to weed around those plots. They're supposed to set up all the vases that have turned over. They're supposed to trim the one or two big oaks that shade parts of those. They're supposed to do some work. A caretaker is supposed to do some work. And God is working. He's working. He's going to take care of it if he can just get you turned loose of it. He said, I'll take care of that for you. I'll do it for you. The CEV, which is a contemporary translation, says, God cares for you, so turn your worries over to him. The message says, live carefree before God. I love this. He's careful with you. Don't you love that? How would you like to turn over to somebody that would be very careful? You know, in the early days, everything that my mother didn't want that belonged to my grandmother, she thought I should have. She wanted me to take care of it. That means she didn't want to get rid of it, but she didn't want it in her house. So it ended up, that's exactly, mother's gone, and she knows that's what she meant. And besides, in heaven, there are no spiritual things, not physical things, so I hear it, so she didn't know we're talking about her. But I ended up with my grandma's ancient candy dish. What am I going to do with that? First of all, you can't just put the candy in and sit down on the counter. You know, if that thing gets broken, we don't want to cause a family feud here over a candy dish. So I found a secure place for that. We do that with worry. We have this place where my worry is very secure. I'm thinking about it. I'm pondering it. It's kind of like setting the record on the TV. You have this thing you're anxious about, and you've got it set so that anytime you think about it, come back up, and you can reprogram. You can see all the possibilities and all the probabilities and everything that could go wrong and everything that would be of concern. And what God say? Please don't do that. Well, then we don't say the course of help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. Help me, Lord. Help me, Jesus. Help me, Lord. I love the psalmist. He said, help, O Lord. He said, I will help you. He said, I can fix this. I can do this. I'll mow that place. I'll set those vases up. I'll trim that tree. Turn loose, turn loose, turn loose. And you know what we do? You're not strong, are you? I don't want to get hurt here. Okay, now turn loose. Go ahead, turn loose. Turn loose. Why can't you turn loose? And somehow there's things we just won't turn loose of. And if we don't turn loose, throw the whole weight of your anxiety, the whole weight of it, upon Him, for you are His personal concern. That's the Phillips translation. Still can get Phillips, I think, paperback, very inexpensive. Give it all, give it all. And so it's just cast it all upon Him. For He cares. That doesn't mean He's concerned. Now turn to Psalms 55. It means He's going to fix it. He's going to do something about it. He's going to act on it. He's going to bring you your solution, your answer. If He can get you to turn loose, oh, thank God. You know, sometimes I've said, I want to turn loose, God. I do want to turn loose. I do. Help me turn loose. You're holding on as fast as you can. We watched on television a little kid that got his hand stuck in the candy machine. And what it was, he didn't have any money. He's a little bitty kid. So he put his hand up the slot like this and had that candy bar like this. Well, he could have gotten his hand out, but you know why he couldn't get it out? He wouldn't let go of the candy bar. And his mom was there, and if I had to call the police, the fireman came, it was a hoot. And there, all he has to do is turn loose, and he's not turning loose. He just is not going to turn loose. He made up his mind. He's having that. And that's what we do. We worry about our sons and our daughters and our neighbor and our job and what if and what if and what if. And we won't turn loose. Well, can't God be trusted? Do you not believe God keeps His word? Did He say He would solve it? Did He say you were His personal concern? Did He say you have nothing to worry about if He's on the job? Isn't this amazing? Sometimes I have to look in the mirror and say, forgive me, God, for being so dumb. I'm sorry, I knew better. Now look at the 55th Psalm. Verse 1, give ear to my prayer. See, God said, don't worry, pray. Hide not myself in my supplication, my request. Now here's how He felt. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. You know what that means? Carrying on. Howling. Because the voice of the enemy, the voice of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and they hate me. Nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. Guess I'll go eat worms. You know that song? We sing that growing up. Big fat Jizzy was a little bitty skinny one. Guess I'll go eat worms. Said, nobody loves me. Everybody hates me. My heart is sore pain within me. Sorry, I had a hard week. You get the brunt of that. The terrors of death are found upon me, fearfulness and trembling. I love that word trembling because that's what happens to me. If I really get overwrought about something, my body begins to tremble and to shake. It's like thousands of needles, and I know better than that, God. I come in horror have overwhelmed me. Now, here's the problem. This is what I like the best. Look at verse 12. It was not an enemy that reproached me. Then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me. Then I would have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man, my equal, my guide, and my acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked into the house of God in company. The person that gave him the hardest time was the person that he had walked with and had loved and had been by his side. He said, if the enemy, I just don't hide. went with his brother, sister, his uncle's cousin, his spouse. Now, he gives a further description of this person who'd been by his side. Look at that. We took counsel together. This is your confidant, the one you went to for help and aid, who's turned against you. See, that I'm not worried about my neighbors. I don't even know what their name is. I hope you're doing better than I am, but my neighbors are behind a body of water. That's my excuse. It was his friend. This is the same scripture, verse 20, that friend. He that put his hands against such as be at peace with him, he's broken his covenant. Your friend's a liar. He lied to you. He gave his word. He stole your peace. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter, but war was in his heart. Deceptive. Sneaky. His words were softer than oil, yet they were drawn swords. But look what he says to do. Cast thy burden upon the Lord. He shall sustain you. That word means he'll maintain you, make provision for you, guide you, relieve you, release you, assist you, aid you, support you. What are you going to do? Where are we going to go from person to person? Did you hear what Mabel did to me? After all these years, who would have thought that? And now what we do? You know that's right. That's what you wanted to do, wasn't it? I'd say, Wayne, you will never guess what happened today. What Mabel did. I'm just going to tell one person. And God said, cast that. Here's that word cast again. Throw that rock in the pond. He said, I can sustain you, maintain you, relieve you if you give it to me. You will never suffer the righteous to be moved. My translation says, you will not slip and fall or slip and slide if you trust in God. If you keep trusting in yourself and moaning, groaning, complaining, bellowing, go slip and slide. Have you ever slid down? We were in Russia. They said, watch the, I'm not, you know, I'm Floridian with sand in my shoes. And so they said, be careful about the gray ice. I don't know a thing about ice or snow. But I'm watching my feet. I'm looking for gray ice. That's what they said. And I found gray ice. And oh, I was careful. And I was. The Russians don't lift their feet. They slide them like this without lifting them. So I'm pretty smart. They live here. I thought that's what I'm going to do. And so I made it across the ice. But downtown, headed to a restaurant, Wayne came to me and went, shh, boom, bam. It was really a moment of horror. He forgot to slide. He wasn't hurt, though. That's the good news. He wasn't hurt. And I guess they have a lot of falling there in the ice because nobody's horrified. Everybody on the sidewalk just says, just keep right on going. And finally, our host just said, are you hurt? Can you get up? And he got up and he wasn't hurt. I'm glad about that. And God said, if you can give this to me, if you will turn loose of it, if you will not let it gnaw at you, if you will not maintain it, then I can support you, I can relieve you, I can release you. Ask and you shall receive. I will do this for you. Now look at the 37th Psalm. I thought you'd like that because the enemy is not way out there somewhere. Close at home. That's when people get divorced. The person they love the most become the enemy. You know these verses. Delight thyself, verse 4, in the Lord. He shall give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way. Same word is cast your way. In the Hebrew it would say roll your way upon the Lord. Trust in him. He'll bring it to pass. When is he going to bring it to pass? When you trust in him and roll it over on him. If we're backpacking going up the hill and Wayne agrees to take my backpack, then I'm free. I'm not worried about getting up the hill carrying this heavy load. And God said, this is my load, not yours. You choose to help carry it. That's fine. You'll have to solve it. But if you'll turn it over to me, he says, I can bring it to pass. I can do this for you. The translator says, he will effectively work. Trust him. He can accomplish it. And then he says, he's going to act on it. Whatever it is you need. God said, I'll do that. There's two old songs. When it says, Jesus can fix it. Yeah, 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 Jesus can fix it. He said, you know, men are stubborn. You knew that, didn't you? I'm not telling you if you didn't know. Heaven help us if they can't fix something themselves. First of all, we're not going to admit that we can't fix it. I guess there are men that would, but fix it. I said, give it to me, Emmy, I can do that. You think they're going to turn loose of that? They're not going to punch us here. Just give it to me. I can say, why not? I can do it. Hey, just give me a minute. Your hands are too big. Let me do that. That's what we do to God. He says, just give it here. Just give it here. Hey, just give it here. Just turn loose of it. You know what? We feel disloyal if we're not worried about it. We feel unloving and unconcerned. If really we're at peace and we're free. Do you think, look at Deuteronomy 7:9, that God meant what he said what he meant? God is faithful to his word. He said, I will fix it. I will do that for you. I will act upon it. Turn loose, turn loose. Verse 9, I love verse 9. Don't even have to read the whole verse. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keeps covenant and mercy. He keeps his covenant. He keeps his word. He said, if you don't worry about it, if you'll turn loose of it, I will fix it. God is a covenant-keeping God. He never gives his word and backs down. He said he'd fix it, and if I'll turn loose of it, he'll fix it. Now, I'm not looking over God's shoulder to see how he's going to fix it. That's the next thing I'm worried about, is how he's going to fix it. So I didn't really turn loose of it. If I turn loose of it, I'm not too concerned about how he's going to fix it. This is God's problem. He said he'd fix it. We'll turn to Psalms, 119th Psalm. Let me show it to you again. Jesus can fix it. There's another old song. Came out, I guess, about the same era. Said, if Jesus can't fix it, oh, nobody can. Nobody fixes it but Jesus. If we just get a grip on that. You know, we worry that electricity goes off. We worry about getting too hot so electricity comes back on. We have a hurricane. Worry about being without electricity and the food in the freezer. Not having enough ice to be maintained. Or worry about the communication being cut off and how I call Daddy and make sure he's okay. You know this. I'm not telling you anything you don't know. I'm just exhorting us today to get over it. You have a 3-year-old that won't sleep at night. You think that's a problem? Wait till they're 23 and they don't come home at night. See, if you don't learn to cast things on the Lord now, things mushroom. You're worried about the little one that won't give up his pacifier. What about the bigger one that's snorting coke? Give it all, give it all. Shh. Thy testimonies, verse 138, did I tell you that? Thy testimony that thou hast commanded are righteous and very faithful. God is faithful to his word. His testimony, his word is right, it's good, it's just, it's fair, and he's faithful to keep that word. Well, we have many, many scriptures. Let's read a couple more. Let's go to Hebrews 10 in the New Testament, all over the Hebrews. Verse 23, hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he's what? Faithful that promised. Verse 23. He is faithful that promised. And what did he promise? To cast every care upon me and I'll take care of it. That's the promise. Is he faithful to that? Can God be trusted? Does he keep his word? You know, Isaiah, prophet Isaiah, talked about the word of God was like rain that fell to the earth, and when it returned to heaven, it accomplished the purpose of God. And the word of God always is accomplished. Mary said, how is she a virgin going to conceive? She didn't know. She said, how can this be? She was curious. And she said, blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things which were told her. And I know there shall be a performance. Those things which were told me from the Lord. And that doesn't mean God's working today. He's working with me. I'll see it today. But I know I'm going to say it before the deadline. God's going to work it out. Now, I give each one of you a scripture sheet on children. We barely have time. I want to show you this. One of the hardest things to cast upon the Lord to children and grandchildren. It just won't do like you think it should. You notice that? Have you noticed? Have y'all noticed that? This is just a sampling of scripture. We talked about when we pray. See, we're going to pray with thanksgiving. We're going to turn it over to God, and we're going to celebrate and thank Him in spite of what I see. He is working. He's going to do it for me. He's going to take care of it. It's going to be accomplished. He's going to fulfill His word. He's faithful to His word. He never lies. He's not a man that he should lie, neither some man that should repent. As He said, shall He not do it? But we can pray the word. We know we can pray four ways. We can pray the word. We pray in the Spirit, means we pray in other tongues. We pray by inspired utterance in English and sometimes in groanings and travail. We can pray those things, but we begin with the Word. Genesis 18, for I know Abraham that he will command his children's household after him, and they shall keep the way of the Lord to do justice or do what's right in judgment, that the Lord may bring upon Abraham that which he hath spoken. Now, if I pray for my children, I say they are going to keep the way of the Lord and do that which is just and right. So what if they don't? That's why I'm praying it. Because they're not doing it. If they were doing it, I wouldn't have to pray it. Come on, ladies, get with it. Sorry, I'm already. I said they'll keep the way of the Lord. They will do what's right, and God will be able to bring upon them the things He's spoken. The blessings He wanted for them. The guidance He wanted for them. The future He wanted for them. The expectation. He's going to be able to do that because they're going to walk in His way. Isaiah 43, just pray the word. I will give water to the thirsty land and make streams flow on the dry ground. I will pour out my spirit on your children and my blessings on your descendants. I said, Lord, thank God. Thank you, thank you, thank you that you're pouring out the rain of the Spirit on my children. They cannot escape the Holy Ghost. I'm sending Him out in the name of the Lord to rain on my children. And rain and rain and rain and rain and flood until they have to swim in the Spirit. So that's not likely to happen. Well, I guess you trust God like I do because I'm looking for rain every day. I'm grateful for what I have seen. I'm celebrating what I haven't seen. All your children should be disciples taught by the Lord, obedient to His will, and great should be the peace and undisturbed composure of your children. Very, very important. Particularly in our family where Suzanne's had such trauma. And I say, God, you're teaching them. They're your children, and you're teaching them. And they're going to be obedient. They're going to be hearers and doers of your will. What you say and what they know, they're going to obey. And they're going to have great peace, undisturbed composure. You know, sometimes I have to pray that for me. You know, worry disturbs your composure. You knew that. Again, Isaiah 59, as for me, as for who? Who are you concerned about? Who can you move for? Can you control me? You can't control your spouse, are you kidding me? Have you ever done something you didn't think was wise, you told them not to do? You said, I don't believe I'd do that. So who's this word for? As for? This is my covenant, says the Lord. My spirit is upon you, and my words that I put in your mouth shall not depart out of your mouth, or out of the mouth of your offspring, or out of the mouth of your children's offspring, from this time forth and forevermore. God said, the word that you planted in them, that I've planted in you, will be planted in them. And the spirit that's upon you will be upon them. But I promise, Becky, to watch over your children and your grandchildren. I promise that the word that you cherish will be the word that they cherish. And I begin to say, Lord, they'll cherish the word like I do. They'll cherish the spirit like I do. They'll be faithful to the house of the covenant of God. And they'll keep your way. And they'll walk in your way. And the rain is going to pour upon them. And they're going to have undisturbed composure and great peace. And they're going to be constantly taught and have revelation and understanding. Why am I saying it? Because that's my expectation. And that's God's promise. And He said, if you'd hold fast your confession of faith, I don't know what we're ever going to do with that kid. That's about how long hell fast. So my goodness, he did what? Oh my. Back to the word. Back to the promise. Back to God's commitment. Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man. man that fears the Lord delights to break in his commandments, his seed shall be mighty upon the earth. And the generation upright shall be blessed. It's one of my favorites. If you could know the number of times I've said to the Lord, my seed are going to be mighty upon the earth. And as Joel's company lays off more and more people, the one thing I know is Joel coming in that place is mighty upon the earth. And blessed. And look at the last one. I'm going back to Daniel. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. I said, my children always please the Lord. They're conscientious. They're hearing from heaven. Why are they hearing? Because we sent the rain of the Spirit to pour upon them. Because the word that you cherish, they're going to cherish. And the Spirit that you know, they're going to see in you and come to that same Spirit. God keeps his word. That's what he said he would do. Now, Joel, third grade, they put him in remedial math. I couldn't have been more surprised. He's a smart kid. I was just surprised. I went down and sat in the classroom and watched. And they said, this is what it has to be. Third grade, fourth grade, fifth grade, sixth grade, he like never caught on. I don't know how he got behind. I didn't know he was behind till they sent me a note. I had to sign some papers, but Joel in remedial math. I was startled. We went to this verse, Daniel 1:17. As for Joel Cumby, God gives him knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom, particularly math. I asked the Lord if you want to throw in understanding visions and dreams. That's okay with me, too. But that's not the part I'm concentrating on. And I said it over and over, and Joel said it, and we went over it. We read it every night. We expected it in third grade, but it didn't come. Expected it in fourth grade, but it didn't come. Expected it in fifth grade, didn't come. Expected it in sixth grade, didn't come. Expected it in seventh grade. I don't know, somewhere along the line, it's like you snapped your finger. He called on. Went through college calculus, just breezed through. Nothing to it. People would call the house and say, I've talked to you about a math problem. He spent more time to have some math on the phone. And then my brother called and said, the girls need some help with their math. He has three girls. He was everywhere. This is a little kid that was in remedial math. And we had a preacher here that preached and prayed in the word. My, he prayed the word. He prayed the word. If I could have followed him around every time he prayed more scripture than Carter's got liver pills. I was so thrilled. And Joel said, I'm going to ask him about my math. We'd been praying the scripture for several years. He went to this man and he told him he's in remedial math. He just didn't catch on. And this man said, son, I'm give you a scriptural. He said, how about Daniel 1:17, how God gives knowledge and skill in all learning and wisdom. You know, if God did that for Daniel, he did that for Joel. And I don't care what you need. See, there's wisdom in a business level. We're just not talking about spiritual things. The Spirit of God infuses us in business situations. But we're talking about understanding how to transact business, how to sell and buy, how to make a living. God said, you ask me to give you that kind of learning, that kind of understanding, that kind of knowledge, and I'll do it. Now, is God a liar? Is he going to do it? Give it all. God, I can't believe we got through it all. It's 11:30. And I haven't made it. Give it all to Jesus. Well, I promised you 7 weeks ago I'd give you some tips about the children, and I tried to escape, but the Lord kept bringing it back to my memory. Now, where does it begin? Don't forget the beginning. Don't worry about anything. Not the finances, not the drug use, not the math score, not the alcohol. Because Jesus will fix it. I got to call a little kid's missing. She's missing. They want me to join the party to help hunt her. You know, we're just going to drive streets and hunt for her. And I said, I'm not coming. They were horrified. They were horrified. I maybe didn't phrase it delicately enough, but I said, I'll pray, and when the Lord tells me where she is, I'll go get her. That's exactly what I did. And I called him. I said, okay, I know where she is. I'm going to pick her up. Where do you want her? At your house? Where do you want her? You know one thing I know? They won't let me to drive the streets. They're driving the streets and don't know what else to do because they're nervous. I said, I'm going to stay right here and pray. I told them. And my phone rang. So help me. Said, a little kid called and said, do you know where so-and-so is? Did she get home? I said, no, they just called. She didn't get home. He said, well, I was going to bring her home in my car, but I couldn't. I said, where's the last place you saw her? And that's where we got her. Because Jesus will fix it. kind of worried with the rest of them. You know, I have enough problems of my own I try not to worry about. I'm sorry, I'm not going to worry about yours. But I will have to fix it. Raise your hand to heaven. Say, I'm so sorry, God. I'm so sorry.